There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Here we go. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you are here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. We got showdowns and shutdowns and a lot of stuff to talk about coming up. Plus the black arts of social media. In other words, what is done in the name of winning that may not be on the side of honesty. We'll get into that in the second half of this hour. But I want to say something with the hearing Coach Gus Malzahn there for a second in the show intro. What is it? Is anybody bothered, or is it just me with the whole thing? It's not like it's new, but having coaches that are currently coaching doing like commentary, like on last night, what, Chip Kelly and Gus Malzahn last night. I know it's not anything new. It just... And maybe they can give some insight. It just seems weird to me. It has always seemed weird to me to have a coach that is currently coaching in college football do an analysis on an upcoming game. Does that strike anybody as weird? Okay, just me. All right. I guess we can continue the conversation about next year if people have been wanting to do that on emails to me today. That was all Clemson's game last night. Don't tell me about calls or anything like that. I watched the same game. It was all about the fact that Clemson was the better team last night for sure. But yeah, we're already into a new year and all the discussion of what happens coming up with Alabama's opening game against Duke. I'm sure it'll be full of intrigue, right? All right, a couple things here before we get into some national stories as the president addressing the nation tonight starting at 8 o'clock. But first, back here at home, the division going on in Mobile. Got a note here from Mayor Sandy Stimson's office. Says, filed yesterday. Mayor Sandy Stimson today, that was yesterday, filed an amended complaint in Mobile County Circuit Court seeking to block members of the Mobile City Council from their continued attempts to expand their authority beyond legal limits. Quote here from the mayor, this action is necessary to stop an unprecedented overreach by the council into the administration of city government. Make no mistake, this is all about control. We must stand firm to protect the separation of powers as defined by state law. End quote. The council, in what is believed to be a violation of state law, has taken a series of steps in recent weeks to upset the balance of power and shift control away from the administration. Those steps include the hiring of council employees, approval of an ordinance seizing control of city contracts, and new attempts to gain authority over employees of the administration. Goes on to say here, quote from the mayor, these actions are being fashioned by the council as efforts to improve transparency when the naked truth is they are a power grab. Taking control away from the administration and giving it to the council will not make government more effective, efficient, or transparent. It will only cause it to be more confusing, more political, and more frustrating for the people we are here to serve. And then there's a link to the complaint. I look through this. I mean, it's a lot of the same, right? We have a division, an issue, a failure to communicate going on between the Mobile City Council and the administration, the Stimson administration, and it's played out in individual battles. I guess the war is the one, maybe like the mayor says, for power between the two, but it comes up in battles, different battles, right? It's over this thing or that thing, and this, I guess, is the latest in the battle. I would question this once again, and I will talk to Rob Holbert with Landyap again on Thursday morning and kind of circle back. Because this is once again, this is filed in the Circuit Court of Mobile County, as William S. Stimson as the plaintiff, and then list the Mobile City Council as the defendants here in the civil action. I will say that I sure hope this one doesn't go to mediation, right? The last suit is in mediation. And I circle back to this, and I wonder why we're doing this. If it's going to mediation, the point is, it's not to get the mayor and the city council to agree. I mean, that would be a good thing, or work out something. But isn't it to establish what the rules are under the Zogby Act? Isn't that what we're going for? I sure hope this goes through and stays in the courts as far up as it needs to go. So you find out what the precedent is. If you have a mediator, they're just going to see if people can come to an agreement. So even if the city council and the mayor came to an agreement on who gets to do what, that then leaves this as an open-ended conversation going forward when there's new members of the council, new mayor, things down the road. So wouldn't it be better just to get this done if we're going to file these complaints, have these taken up and stay in a court of law so these things can get some concrete answers to who gets to do what? This is yet another lawsuit. And yes, you're asking, how does this work? Well, it's here's the layout of this complaint, just the quick part of it. It says, of course, it's between the mayor and the council. And it says here, it's a couple of bullet points. Number one, they're talking about the power and duties of the mayor. It says here, the Zogby Act confers broad executive and administrative power upon the mayor and the mayor council form of government. The general powers and duties of the mayor are set forth, and it lists those. Then it goes on to talk about the ability to examine contracts. Of course, that was part of the discussion last week. Should the mayor be able to look at it, or do those contracts need to go to the council? It also then lists the powers and duties of the city council. It lists those. It says powers of the council dealing with officers and employees in administrative service. And it goes on listing a couple different things there, even getting into levying property, sales, and license taxes. And then goes on to some discussion of the Zogby Act, gets down to limitations on the council's passage of ordinances, and then talks about hiring of non-merit personnel. And we know where that's gone in the discussion so far. So that suit has been, and we'll try to link this up on the, see if I can get, I don't know how to get a PDF up on the Twitter feed. I'll tell you what, I can link this whole thing, though, on Twitter, and we'll try to get it on the Facebook page if you want to look through this and kind of see what the latest here between the council and the mayor. And hopefully this one doesn't go into mediation. This one actually stays in the courts so we can maybe one day get some concrete answers on who gets to do what down at Government Plaza. All right, 12:15 on the way. We'll discuss the president and the president's trip, number one, to the border, going to McAllen, Texas on Thursday. He will address the nation tonight. Speaking of which, Vice President Mike Pence was on ABC's Good Morning America this morning explaining the reasoning behind this and also the situation on the border.
The passion you hear from President Trump, his determination to take this case to the American people, as he will tonight in his national broadcast from the Oval Office, comes from this president's deep desire to do his job to protect the American people. And we're going to continue to carry that case forward until the Democrats in Congress come to the table and start negotiating, not just to end the government shutdown, but to address what is an undeniable crisis at our southern border. 3,000 special interest individuals, people with suspicious backgrounds that may suggest terrorist connections, were apprehended at our southern border. Last year alone, 17,000 individuals with criminal histories were apprehended at our southern border.
All right, so laying out some of the case that I'm sure the president will reiterate tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the television coverage, and do the Democrats deserve time from the networks for their response? Hear from you at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, this show and so many others that we do here, all the live local programming, you want the podcast of that, you want to share it, you want to listen again, you want to listen for the first time, that's cool. fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link that says podcast, and they're right there. Get them a la carte, or even better yet, subscribe over at iTunes or Stitcher or many other platforms, actually, to get those shows delivered to your smartphone, wherever you are. All right, coming up in the second half of this hour, this interesting story, and has a story over at Fox News, and a couple of Yellowhammer reported about it as well. The Fox News story, let me point out, is from our own Alex Pappas, who I think was home the other day. I think he's, Alex, you in town? Of course, Alex from Mobile, but works for Fox News, reported on the latest allegation of targeting false flag operations against Roy Moore. It's the latest Facebook page popped up. It also quoted in there Elizabeth Bashirs, who's been on with us in the past. She is quoted about a screen grab she grabbed back during the Jones-Moore race, and we're going to talk to her coming up after 12:35. So we'll get to that. All right, so the president tonight to address the nation to discuss why he needs the funding for the border wall, right? A couple things here. I mean, you heard Mike Pence lay it out by the numbers, the people coming across. The president, I'm sure, will talk about what he'll take. It'll be slats, or it'll be concrete, or it'll be something else. He'll get into that, and he'll probably use this as a way to put the Democrats, put the ball in their court. And I've said that hopefully something will come of this. I do worry, like I said to Quinn Hillier this morning and say to others, I worry that both sides have painted themselves into a corner where I don't know there's any way for them to make a deal here and save face. And Lord knows, saving face in Washington, probably more important than getting the people's work done. But the president tonight will do this address. Remember yesterday during the show, we were talking about the White House was looking for airtime with the networks and did find it. And now the outfall of that. Number one, people are asking how much time will the Democrats get to respond? And then you had on Morning Joe today, Mika Brzezinski said television networks, and a story from the Daily Caller, said television networks should refuse to run President Donald Trump's Oval Office address about the immigration crisis because he'll lie to the American people. Mika, you ever seen any kind of presidential address? I mean, it depends on where you are in the political spectrum. There's probably people out there that say the same thing about anybody you would put up. But Mika wants the networks to block President Trump because she says he'll lie to the American people. Quote here, like they've done with other presidents and other times, the network should refuse to turn over the airwaves to Donald Trump tonight for what they know objectively to be a steady stream of lies. She said that this morning on Morning Joe. Maybe that'll stop him from debasing yet another one of our historic, solemn, and cherished presidential traditions. They shouldn't run it, not on the main networks. Now, you can bring some cases up, but these are true cases. You've had a denial of Barack Obama wanted to address the nation. I think it was on immigration as well. And they said they weren't going to take it because of the political nature. If Mika was saying, hey, I don't think they should let the president do his address tonight because of the political nature of this, maybe at least you can disagree, but you can say there's some footing. But saying she's going to preemptively say that the president's going to lie, so therefore the networks should not run President Trump's address tonight from the Oval Office because she knows that he's going to lie. That's the best coming out of Morning Joe right now. All right, some other side stories to that, and we'll get your calls here in just a second at 343-0106, 343-0106. President then goes to McAllen, Texas on Thursday, presenting his case down on the border for the border wall fence. I'm tired of semantic, whatever we're going to call it, the border thing, the barrier. How about that? The barrier. He will address the nation there during a presser from down on the border, but that's Thursday. So speaking to We the People tonight from the Oval Office and then from down in Texas on Thursday. And this is one of these situations where you have a full-on push from the White House. At the same time, you have a full-on digging in of the heels of the Democrats to say no. And the government shutdown, how long does it last? By the way, we've asked you that question, the online opinion poll question right now, letting you make the call. Do I have to pay the NFL if I say that? Do they do that anymore? You get to make the call. How long does the shutdown last? Is it going to be this temporary thing? Is it going to go on for weeks? Continued weeks. It's already been weeks, plural. Does it go on for weeks? Does it go on for months? Or like one of our suggested answers here. The government will never reopen. Right now, in our polling, the leading vote getter, 1 to 3 months. So 1 to 3 months, 55% of y'all say the government will reopen in 1 to 3 months. And then 9% say 3 to 6 months. And then by the end of January, 36%. So, yeah, so number one is 1 to 3 months. Number two, by the end of this month. And then 3 to 6 months, 9%. Nobody went, Dalton, you see that? Nobody went with the government will never reopen choice there. We'd like you to vote online. We'll keep tallying these votes. You can vote on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, to the phones, and David in Mobile first up. Hey, man.
Now, if Minka wanted to say that the main networks shouldn't carry the president's address because they all have their own 24/7 news channels now, either online or cable, then we could have a discussion. Because
that's she said he's going to lie. It's because the president will lie. She is telling us in advance that he's going to lie, so therefore the network shouldn't do it.
Well, you know, like I said, if they all have their own 24/7 networks now, and so that way I could still watch my NCIS and then go back and listen to the coverage of the president. That'd be great. But if they're going to cover it, I think that both the president and the Democrats should both be given the opportunity to speak to the American people, make their case, and let's have an open discussion about both sides, so that we can have transparency. You know, that's a word that likes to be thrown around recently. So we can have transparency about where each side stands, and the American people can make up their mind who they support, who they don't support.
Yeah, it would be even better. Let's do one of these where you could put a representative of obviously President Trump on one side, and Democrats can pick it, Schumer, it's Pelosi, somebody can get up there, and then the American people can do in a Q&A format, ask the question, do you support this? And then, you know, somebody, do you support that? Are you, and just put, have them give a concrete answer to, you know, do you support a fence? Do you support a wall? Do you support some barbed wire? Do you support open borders? Do you support, and go down the list.
That would only work if you if you attached electrodes to them, and if they started filibustering or not answering, you know, obfuscating the answer, you could press a button and give them an electric shock.
You would have television gold there if you could do that. If you could administer electric shock to members of the federal government, I think you would. I think you'd make some money on that.
Maybe so.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. All right, I want to set this up before we get started in this next segment, because this story. A couple places, Yellowhammer News has something about it, as does Fox News. Now, this story by our own Alex Pappas, I say own, Mobilian, sup. But this is interesting. Do you remember it was a few weeks ago, the discussion of a false flag operation against Roy Moore? Now another one coming to light. This is one called the Dry Alabama Facebook page. Alex writes this. He says, Alabama Republican Roy Moore, Alabama Republican Roy Moore was reportedly targeted by another false flag operation organized by Democrats who supported Doug Jones during the state Senate special election in 2017. A New York Times story revealed Monday that Democrats created a Facebook page that gave the false impression that it was the work of Baptist teetotalers supporting Moore in the contest. That Dry Alabama Facebook page, so it was Dry Alabama on Facebook, which called for the outlawing of alcohol in the state, intended to alienate pro-business moderate Republicans from Moore, according to the New York Times. Democrats reportedly saw an opportunity to win that race after Moore was hit with allegations of past inappropriate sexual conduct with teenage girls. Of course, we know Jones went on to win the race. Alex goes on here, says, it's the, and this is what's interesting, if you're, because people said, oh, we already heard about this. No, this is different. It's the second report in recent weeks of a stealth social media effort by pro-Jones activists. In December, New York Times also reported that Democrat operatives backed by liberal billionaire created thousands of fake Russian accounts to give the impression that the Russian government was supporting Roy Moore. Do y'all remember this show when I, that first was thrown out and I said, yeah, right. That's what the Russians have time to do, to worry about the special election in Alabama State Senate. I remember I said take a pound of salt with that. They said the secret project was carried out on Facebook and Twitter. After that revelation, Jones said he was outraged over the report, called for a federal investigation into the project. We have some discussion of the investigation here in the state of Alabama. I don't know about on the federal side. As for the Dry Alabama effort, a Republican operative in Alabama at the time posted a screen grab of the sponsored post and expressed confusion over why she was targeted. Well, that's our friend Elizabeth Beshears. She posted up the screen grab from Dry Alabama, the Facebook page that we now know is one of these secretive social media efforts. We're going to talk about that with Liz when we get back right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Tuesday style. Glad you are here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. First mentioned this story this morning, although we mentioned the original story back in December when there's more, I guess the first of the false flag, if you would call them, stories came out from the New York Times that were focused on Roy Moore. Now, you had a situation where you had Roy Moore already a wounded candidate here in Alabama. Then you had the folks, consultants from elsewhere that felt like, wait a second, the Democrat has a chance at Alabama. So they poured in, right? We talked about that during that special election, poured in physically, poured in with money, poured in with consulting. And you got a lot of things came out of this. And some of them are coming to light through these two stories about Facebook pages and items that were put up. Number one, this idea that the Russians supported Roy Moore. As I always find myself on an island in these, I remember telling you all back then, this wasn't me rah-rah-rahing for Roy Moore, but I said, just use a little bit of critical thinking and judge whether you think hundreds of Russians are backing Roy Moore. Remember that back in, during the special? And then, so that was part of it. But then this other shoe drops where there was a Facebook page called Dry Alabama. Now, I'm going to point this out, that I look at this screen grab from our friend Elizabeth Bashirs, a communications consultant, and I look at the screen grab that you had put up on Twitter back then, and I see familiar names on here. Your name, of course, and Cameron Smith's name. My name was not on there. Now, I think it's specific to the algorithm for Facebook that somebody with the last name Sullivan wouldn't be proposed anything about a Dry Alabama. Or maybe they would have on this. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being here. This Dry Alabama. So this is a story in the New York Times. And a lot of this is working off of what you did, a good old-fashioned screen grab of something that was a suggested post to you on Facebook. Talk us through that.
Yeah, so on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, one of the New York Times writers called me and said, hey, do you remember anything about a Dry Alabama effort during the Senate campaign last December? And here I am thinking, okay, this is the nightmare that never ends, the Senate campaign.
Right.
And I was like, actually, yes. Now that you say that, I remember screen grabbing that because it just seems so bizarre. And, you know, honestly, something like this, it's a toss-up to me, in my opinion. It's a toss-up whether it was real or not, because there are a lot of people still in Alabama for whom alcohol is still a big issue. And so I remember thinking, okay, that's a weird thing to make an issue this late in the campaign and the election. And so I screen grabbed it and tweeted about it. And so that ended up being the screen grab heard across the country yesterday when it was in the New York Times.
Okay, so this is now in that New York Times story, it turns out that Matt Osborne, as it says here, a progressive Alabama activist, worked on the project and who basically said he didn't like it, but he said, you got to do this. You got to play by these are the new rules. You got to play by it. But basically the idea here, and help me, that they felt Roy Moore was already teetering on the edge of not getting support from moderate Republicans out there. And this was probably what they thought the doctor ordered to push people away from Roy Moore.
Which is interesting because there are any number of issues I think they could have chosen that would have been more impactful, but they probably were looking at some polling, looking at some numbers, and seeing, hey, we just need a couple thousand more votes to push this over the edge for Doug Jones. Maybe this will be the thing that does it. Now, do I think it was? I think it was probably a waste of, you know, however many $100,000 they spent on this particular effort. But that was the goal. That was the goal.
Okay.
And You know, whether or not those were the last couple thousand votes or not, we have no way of telling. But it was, it's just an interesting tack to take.
Yeah, but I want to challenge that for a second, because you're very savvy. Communications consultant. You've worked in the world of Alabama politics. You know what's going on. And you said just a second ago, you said it was a toss-up whether this was a real thing or not. So, Liz, I mean, if you, pretty darn savvy in this, it was a toss-up to people that are not living in this world of, hey, there's probably somebody doing some, some oppositional Facebook, tactics here. They might see it and fall for it hook, line, and sinker, because people have a habit, whether it's somebody getting an email and assuming that everything in the email is true because it came in email, or going to a website and assuming everything's true because it's on a website, people have the habit to see something come up on their Facebook feed and probably assume, well, that's a real thing.
You're absolutely right. And I do think it took a lot of people by surprise, and that there were probably a lot of people who thought it was legitimate. My argument is that it was 2 weeks before the election. And if you hadn't made your mind up about Roy Moore at that point, I don't know if this was the thing that was finally going to, you know, tip the scales for you.
Oh, and we've linked that story up so y'all can see this screen grab. I wonder about this, and I've talked about it the first time this came up back in December, and I've talked about it again this morning. I wonder if the best medicine for this, that this is going on, whether it be at a federal level or a state level, is doing what you're doing. You know, is exposing it, what we're doing and talking about it, because if we talk about it and make it known that these, and this could be on both sides of the aisle, could be a Democrat, mm-hmm. Republican, could be, if people know that this stuff is out there, hopefully they'll go look for a second source. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, even if this is something that comes out in the beginning of election or the middle or right there at the end, the people will start discounting it. It won't have the traction that it seemed to have in that special.
And here's an issue that we haven't really talked about yet that I think is really important to consider in this. You know, Facebook has made all kinds of changes now to where if you are doing anything remotely political and you want to boost it on Facebook, you have to disclose who is paying for it. Well, in this case, in my opinion, some federal election campaign finance laws were broken by not disclosing that these hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent in favor of a Senate candidate. Now, Doug Jones has no, you know, he doesn't have to report it, but the people who are spending the money should have to report it. It's still, you know, an independent expenditure that was for the express purpose of supporting a particular candidate. So why aren't we talking about the actual laws that were broken in this case?
Well, so many times, though, I mean, this is what happens, and I will say this, that Roy Moore has continued to move things into the court, because often the damage is done, and the votes are taken or not taken, and then this all drifts away, right? Like leaves down a stream in so many cases in the past, and then we don't get incensed or talk about it till the next time it happens, and then it goes drifting on down the stream, and then the next time, right?
Absolutely, and this is been a storm that's been brewing for a long time. The Democrats like to talk about Russian interference in the 2016 election, but we have evidence of this home cooked, you know, breaking of campaign finance laws that we can point to and say, hey, look, this is happening. We need to bring the hammer down now to make sure that our elections aren't interfered with by lawbreakers, by people who are going to come in and try to take advantage of loopholes and opportunities and try to sway elections that should be decided on by Alabama and Alabamians and Alabama voters.
Well, you have the couple stories out. I know Yellowhammer and others have talked about Attorney General Steve Marshall asking federal election regulators to do this investigation. Is that, I guess this would, the folks at the FEC are the people best qualified to do it, or would you like to see something happening at a state level?
Because it was a federal campaign, the FEC probably is the best to take a look at this. And the problem is at this point that for some reason the New York Times allowed the funder to speak on condition of anonymity. So the FEC is going to have to do their own investigation to find out where the money came from and whether or not it was disclosed properly. But they have, you know, except for the federal government shut down right now, you know, they have lots of resources normally to be able to investigate this kind of thing, especially because, I mean, this is not a small time. Somebody's brother-in-law is sending out mailers improperly. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars that were spent in favor of a candidate that, as far as we know, were not disclosed.
Yeah, and we have, you know, so many of these same questions. I would like to get some clarity, like you said, through the federal, because obviously you have to as a federal election. But smaller versions of this have been reported, I mean, just as recently as our midterms, right, in the state.
Yeah, I mean, so it's happened. It happens on a state level. It happens on a federal level every day. And I say the brother-in-law thing because that's something that we talk about a lot in campaigns is you can't control what people outside of the campaign do. You can't control what somebody's brother-in-law does improperly, but it's still, to an extent, your responsibility to mitigate the harm done by people in favor, you know, of your election. And that's just, that hasn't been something that has been able to be done on quite this scale before social media. Well, now we know Facebook collects all of this data about us, and you know, they're trying to make some steps to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. But at another level, you know, we have to be vigilant as both voters and people who are gathering information and the people who are involved at, you know, at the political level too. We need to make sure that we're crafting our laws so that this kind of stuff can't happen anymore.
Yeah, and it isn't. You keep saying us, and I think you're right. It is incumbent upon us. I think eventually people will build calluses to this and assume most stuff is of questionable source. But even if you label, Lord knows, you could have a label there that says, this is a paid-for, you know, George Soros paid-for, whatever it is. It could show up that way. And if the thing says something that somebody already wants to believe, right, that you have a desire to believe, then sometimes I've seen it, not in all cases, Lord knows, but sometimes I've seen it, people will look right past all these red flags and still take in that information and process it and say it's true.
Oh, absolutely. And that is not a Republican conservative thing. That's not a liberal Democrat thing. I've seen it happen, you know. People are going to believe what they want to believe, and they're going to share that information. The best we can do is try to have those red flags as red and as big and waving as proudly as we can so that people can see for themselves, hey, maybe we should take a second look at this.
What about that? A quick question before we wrap, though, because of your experience in campaigns. When a PAC out there, some other group, not the candidate committee, puts out an ad, puts out a mailer, whatever it is, and it is, you know, of question. What do you do when you're running the campaign? Do you let that sit for a while to see if it benefits? I mean, we're just talking now. There's not a campaign going on. Do you let something like that sit for a while and see if it does some good before you say you don't endorse that? Or do you run? What's the best policy? You run out there and say, we don't believe in this. What do you do in that situation?
I think let's talk about this race in particular. I don't think Doug Jones had any kind of obligation to go out and say we didn't endorse this. Now, if you get asked about it, you should absolutely say we had nothing to do with this. Or if it's something, you know.
But should you also deny it? Should you also say we had nothing to do with it and it's not true? I mean, do you have to take the next step?
It really depends. It's I hate to give this answer, but it really depends on what the assertion being made by that mailer or by that ad is. Because if it's something like this, because this was theoretically just asking both candidates to sign a pledge for a dry Alabama. This wasn't saying Roy Moore did this, Doug Jones will do that. It was just asking to sign a pledge. But so in that case, you don't have to talk about it at all. But if it was something making an assertion about Roy Moore, his character, and it wasn't you, I think you should go out and say, hey, this was not coming from my campaign. Our voters need to do research on the candidates and come to a conclusion themselves.
All right. Well, I appreciate you bringing this to light. And before anybody could question whether it was a real thing or not, your screen grab makes the story. So, Liz, that was fantastic.
Well, I do my best to keep track of all the stuff flying around there on Facebook and do research and try to help people, you know, come to the right decisions about who they're voting for.
My favorite digital pack rat. Liz Beshears. Thank you, and let's talk again soon.
All right, thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right. Want to hear from you on this. Do you see anything like that during the campaign? You see something that you said, oh, that's too good to be true? Do you ever get those things that show up on your social media feeds? 343-0106. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1254 FM Talk 106.5. Some news out of Montgomery. It's news, but it's nothing that surprises anybody, I guess. So they had to reconfirm everything. So Matt McCutcheon confirmed as Speaker of the House. Del Marsh reconfirmed as Senate President Pro Tem. Those things have happened. You've got going on right now, former Speaker Seth Hammett administering the oath of office for McCutcheon. And I guess the next thing they'll have the oath of office for Del Marsh. So they're getting ready for the beginning of March and session in Montgomery. And we'll talk more about that. As you know, we keep our eyes on these stories, been talking about them for months. I know that to a lot of people, the news story is that coming up in session, they might be talking about a gas tax, the lottery, and Medicaid expansion. Now, if you've been listening here, we've been talking about that for months. So that's the thing coming up. I think those things are going to happen. What they look like and how the sausage is actually made there is what is going to be interesting in the discussion coming up in March. All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming up next hour, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us. Do this every month, second Tuesday of the month. Ask the sheriff. There's a question you've been wanting to ask to a member of law enforcement, specifically the sheriff of Mobile County. Well, he will be in here in just about 10 minutes answering those questions. So you can text him in at 343-0106 or call him in. Same deal, 343-0106. News update here. Looks like, did the talk about this at the council meeting today or what? I see that MyNBC 15 has put this up. Five oak trees in Bienville Square will not be cut down. We talked about that, right? We had Bill Finch in here to talk about it. Last month, they said an independent study suggested the city cut down five oak trees because there were safety concerns. The city arborist did his own study and found some trees showed decay. They took action, and those decayed limbs were removed. City of Mobile says the trees are now fine. So if you had worries about the trees and the squirrels that live in them, what would hold all those beads from them there at Bienville Square? It's fine. The trees are fine. All those five trees in question have been given the green light, so they're good to go. So that was just some breaking news today. Just wanted to pass that along. So trees in the news, everything seems to be fine with that. All right, grab some of the text here as well. And, oh, by the way, this is interesting discussion here going forward. I think, seriously, I said it this morning, I think the best thing you can do, I'm not saying there shouldn't be investigations at a federal level or a state level into fake Facebook pages and Twitter feeds and all those things. That's fine. I'm not against doing an investigation. But understand the best weapon against that is a little bit of a, maybe cynical is not even the right word, but at least a discerning eye. When something pops into your Facebook page or a Twitter feed or an email and it's just too good to be true, maybe just double check. And that's why I think the best medicine against all this stuff that I think will do nothing but ramp up going forward is that if you see something, even if it's spot on with what you think, yeah, they got them or whatever, just go check it out on a couple other sources. And as soon as you do that, then all the traction, all the teeth of this will go away. All right, let's grab a... tell you what, we're going to have to hold it over. We're up against the break here. We'll try to get to your call when we get back at 343-0106. And I mentioned Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in studio. Your chance to ask the sheriff. You got that question? You got maybe your cousin told you that, yeah, well, I'll tell you what the law is. I know because I watched the show. Maybe you want to cross-reference that with the sheriff of Mobile County. Okay, we talk to him next. 343-0106. We check in with Westwood One and Dr. Bill's forecast, and then we talk again.